Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I'm excited to have you join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So tonight, we're going to discuss our hashtag moment for the month of June, which is Faith to Move. We'll then continue on with our series of discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. We'll go into our confession for this week during a segment titled Let's Be Real, where I make my weekly confessions. Then we'll be going into our main topic tonight, where we'll be talking about the importance of really facing your challenges dead on and just not giving up in your dreams. And then we'll end with our dose of spiritual wellness, and I'll give final greetings for the show. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with any hashtags that you hear throughout the show. So, you know, that's with our hashtag moment, Faith to Move, Let's Be Real, or anything else that really resonates with you, and just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. That's WHERRYCONSULT. And you can tag me in any post on Instagram, Facebook, and on Twitter. You're also welcome to call into the show with any questions or comments by dialing 347-850-1154. So let's go ahead and delve right into our hashtag moment. The hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and we talk about it. I'm a guest contributor for the RF Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. So I encourage you to go to that website, check out all the blogs that are there, where you can find tons of wellness tips in addition to the blogs that I post there as well. Once again, the hashtag for the month of June is Faith to Move, so feel free to post on social media with that particular hashtag and tag me at Weary Consult. So in order to be well spiritually, you must have faith to move. So tonight, what I actually want to focus on in the discussion of faith to move is to talk about the contradiction that one may feel when having faith for the future despite the current circumstances. So in being realistic and talking about what faith looks like in our lives, we have to be honest with ourselves and say that faith requires us to some extent to ignore what's going on in our current lives and what our current situation lives like. And it can be such a huge contradiction to be looking expectantly towards something great and something awesome to happen when you're like in the middle of something so deep that is chaotic, that's crazy, that may even feel hopeless and where it may seem like there's no answer or no solution in sight. And so with having the realistic vision that you need to have in order to navigate the current circumstances, but then also needing to have the spiritual vision to be able to see beyond your current circumstances so that you can move expectantly and move in a way that doesn't allow you to get stuck and become stagnant in your situation, it can really feel like a contradiction. It can feel like you have to have this two minds at once. And in some ways you really do, you know, because you can't be so caught up in the future that you don't do anything with your present. You can't be so caught up in the faith of what will happen that you don't appreciate where you are and the lessons that you are learning now in your situation, and that you don't take action to even work through what you're going now. Because the thing about it, even with having faith for your future, having faith for where you hope to be and where you know you belong and where you know that God has spoken to you about, you still have to navigate where you are right now. And I can tell you that just from personal experience, this is something that is so real. And what I am experiencing right now is that there's so many things that God is speaking to me about and things that God has spoken to me about what's going to happen in the future and what's to come and opportunities that are approaching. But at the same token, it's like the circumstances that are going on right now, it's like, okay, God, what about the right now? What about what the issues is that I need an answer to right now? And at the end of the day, their response that I've been getting so far is to have the faith to move, to keep moving. It's to not allow even my current circumstances to dictate how I'm going to have faith in what God has already spoken will happen and what will be. And so the thing about having faith in the middle of this contradiction is that you have to realize is that faith does not mean having all the answers. God knows I wish that it did, and I'm sure there are so many out there of you who are listening who wish the same thing, is that, you know, when you decided to go ahead and have faith and what God has spoken, is that immediately all the answers were dropped out of the sky into your mind or dropped into, you know, a piece of paper with step-by-step directions, but that's not the reality. That's not really what happens. Even when you look at the biblical definition of faith in Hebrews 11 and 1, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so faith does not mean having all the answers. Faith does mean is that you have the trust and the assurance and knowing that what God has spoken will be, it definitely will be. It will happen. It will come to fruition. And so that's the motivating force beyond navigating your current circumstances in order to get to the answer that then you will be able to look back and see, oh, okay, that's why that situation had to happen. That's why I had to take this long for things to be worked out. This is the lesson that I had to learn. This is how I now have gained more strength and more wisdom and more sympathy and more understanding and greater trust in God's will, because I had to take the long route around, or I had to have some days or some moments where I didn't completely understand what's going on. And there's also an element of faith that at some point will be illogical, you know. And in saying that statement, what I am not saying is that in order to have faith, you can't use logic, and that you can't have intelligence and you can't use your mind to think. If God didn't want us to think, if God didn't want us to use our brains, he wouldn't have created us with them. So let's go ahead and dispel that myth that in order to be a Christian or in order to have faith that you can't have intelligence as well, that you can't be educated, that you can't be well-learned. That is so far from the truth. However, there is a boundary to what our knowledge and our understanding can grasp. And so where our knowledge and our understanding and our logic stops, that's where faith even becomes even more important for us to grab hold to and for us to latch onto, is because faith is going to allow us to still move even when it doesn't make sense. There are times that God will speak to you to do certain things where it's like, what? You're asking me to do this? You're asking me to go and carry out this particular project, or you're asking me to write this book, you're asking me to go and speak to this person, you're asking me to go and apologize to this person who did me wrong, you're asking me to, you know, keep silent in a situation where I feel I need to speak up. I mean, the examples can go on and on and on. But when we trust God, even when it doesn't make sense, eventually it does make sense. Eventually the answers do come. But in the moment when God speaks to give you the specific instructions, it won't all make sense. I mean, even when you look at the story of Abraham, before his name was changed over, and when God initially spoke to him about the promise of him being the father of many nations, he told Abram at that time, I need you to pack all your stuff up and to move to a land that I'm going to show you. How much sense does that make to leave your family, leave everything you know, and just go for somewhere that you don't even know where you're heading? You don't even know all of the provisions. You don't know all of the steps. You don't know all of the things that are going to be in place if they already are. You're just going on the simple word is that you will be. I will make you. And so we experience that sometimes in our lives as well, where it won't always, our faith won't always line up with our logic of what we think will happen. But that even proves the scripture that that talks about how our ways are not God's ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts, and how his ways and his thoughts are higher than us. And so we need to have faith in order to elevate our understanding, to elevate us beyond the limitations of our own logic and our own knowledge in order to move to what God has called us to be and what God is calling us to do. So the practical application of living out this faith to move is to simply go and to build up your trust in God by praying, by reading your Bible, and by actually moving according to God's plan. Because the more that you listen, to what God is leading you to do, then the more you will see the fruit of your obedience, you will see the reward of actually listening to God, and you will see how it really was the best solution, even when the process was hard, even when the process was challenging, even when the process brought some pain and some tears and some disappointments and some frustrations. When you still move according to what God has called you to do, when you still move according to your faith and you move beyond what you think should happen and you listen to God instead, you will see the reward of your faith. You know, the Bible talks about how without faith it's impossible to please God. So if it's impossible to please God without faith, that means that with faith you do please him. And if you're pleasing God, that means he's going to reward you. And not that we do it for the rewards and the materialistic things, because really the blessings of God go so much further than material things. Of course, there's nothing wrong with having material things, so I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that the richest, most abundant, the most rewarding blessings that come from God is the spiritual blessings, the spiritual rewards that we get of being strengthened in our spirit, of being matured in our understanding of who God is, and being able to have that deeper trust and that peace and that joy from having total dependence and faith in God. So when it comes to our spiritual wellness, we can't afford to be stagnated by fear. We must have faith to move. So now let's go into our next segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. This is a segment on the show where I strongly encourage everyone to interact with me live while we discuss the various reasons it may be difficult to believe in God. You can call into the show live by dialing 347-850-1154. If you need that number again, you can look at the show page and to be able to get that number, and also at the slideshow as well. And tonight we're going to continue our series on discussing the miracles of the New Testament. And the one miracle we're going to be discussing tonight is when Jesus heals the man who had palsy. So again, the number to call into the show live is 347-850-1154, and feel free to post on social media with the hashtags wellness and faith, what faith to move, to believe or not to believe, or anything else that you hear, and you can tag me at Weary Consult. Now, the account of Jesus healing the man who had palsy can be found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. So first, let's set the tone and discuss the circumstances and the people that were involved. So here in Matthew, we don't get a whole lot of information or background information in this particular account about this man who had this sickness or was diagnosed with palsy. But in this particular miracle, in the verses 1 through 8 of Matthew chapter 9, we see the major players here are Jesus, the man who actually has the palsy, the people who knew him and brought him to Jesus, the scribes who were present when this incident unfolded, and then the crowd of people who were also watching as well. So here it is. You have these individuals who knew that Jesus had this capability of healing people of just a wide range of issues, because at this point, Jesus had performed several miracles, and the news of him had really spread so wildly. I mean, to put it in today's context, it's like posting something on social media and it goes viral, and overnight someone becomes an internet sensation. And so in this day and time, just to make it prevalent, it's like Jesus had become this sensation for being able to do things that they were not used to seeing happening so regularly and so frequently. In the Bible, there were other miracles that had taken place, even in the Old Testament. There were miracles that were performed by various individuals. However, you know, when you're looking at the account of Jesus, the number of miracles that took place that are documented in the New Testament, that in the King James Version, we see that Jesus performed so many miracles in such a short period of time. And so everybody was talking about this Jesus. Like, here's this guy, you know, you can come to him with your issues, and he's able to heal you. And so now these people that knew this man with palsy, and we don't really know for sure if they were friends, if they were families, or even if they were just neighbors, they decided to bring him to Jesus because they're like, hey, we know somebody who can finally help you out. And so in Jesus, you know, seeing the man, he began to speak to him. But what was so interesting about Jesus speaking to him, he didn't immediately speak to his physical condition. Instead, the first thing that Jesus tells this man is that his sins are forgiven. And so with this, the scribes were just like up in arms, like, who are you that you think that you can tell somebody that their sins are forgiven? Like, this is blasphemous. Like, you have no right and no authority to be able to do this. And Jesus' response to them, which is so really amazing, because it's not like they had the boldness to come and say this directly to Jesus. Jesus was able to comprehend what they were thinking and what was in their hearts, and so he knew that this was what they were thinking. And so he responds to them, and he tells them, which is easier to do, to tell the man that your physical illness is healed or to say to someone that your sins are forgiven? And so then Jesus turns to the man who has the palsy, and then he says, you are healed of your physical condition. Get up and walk. Get up and arise. And immediately the man was healed, and he got up off his bed, and he was good. And so at this point, now the crowd is, like, amazed. They're like, oh, my goodness, this is so amazing. How is it that this man is able to do something so great? How wonderful is it that God has allowed someone to come here on earth to be able to walk in this type of authority? And so what a few of the things that I want to point out here in the situation is that God was able to see the totality of the man's condition. He was able to see beyond the physical condition and be able to see the condition of the man's soul. And so here in giving healing, Jesus made sure to give this person wholeness, because had Jesus only told the man, get up off your bed, go ahead, you're fine physically, then what about the man's spirit? He still would not have gotten everything that he needed in that moment. And so I encourage everyone who may be dealing with any type of issues, even if those issues are multifaceted, if there's so many pieces to whatever you're dealing with, is to give it all to Jesus, because he has the capacity and the understanding to be able to give us the whole healing that we need in order to speak to the totality of who we are and to meet us exactly where we are, so that we can move forward and be whole and be free and be healed in every single part of our lives. Thing that I want to point out too is that, you know, when it comes to really walking in healing and even ministering or helping people as well, is that we can't get so caught up in tradition and how things used to be or how things are typically done, is that we have to be willing to be able to move according to the will of God, how he's moving, when he is moving. We have to be willing to be able to do what God is calling us to do in a moment, even if that moment is not typical of what we expect for those type of incidences to occur. So let's say you're at work and you're on your lunch break, and typically you eat lunch by yourself. And, you know, for some reason God is telling you to go and eat lunch with this particular person. And you're like, I don't even talk to this person. They're not even that nice. You know, why should I go and eat lunch with this person? Work is already crazy. This is my 30 minutes or my hour just to be by myself to regroup before I have to leave for the day. Or get back to work before I leave for the day. But when you go and you step outside of your own comfort zone, you step outside of what you think should happen, that's when you're able to see the power of God to manifest in such a magnificent and powerful way. And then, you know, other things that I want to point out, or one more thing rather that I would like to point out, is just to know the source. Know who you can go to for healing. Know who you can go to for help and for support. And to always go to the person who has the answer instead of someone who has a answer. There's a huge difference between someone who has a answer and the person who has the answer. Even a answer may make sense and may have some logic to it. It won't be what you need. Instead, you need to go to the source. Go to the one that's going to give you the solution that you need, how it happened, and get the runaround. So Jesus is the answer. I totally believe that this miracle took place. I totally believe in the totality of the power of God to be able to heal every single part of us. And so now I pose the question to you. What about you? Do you believe, or do you not believe? Remember, you can call into the show or you can post on social media with your responses, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say. So now let's go into our segment titled Let's Be Real. So this is the part of the show where I make weekly confessions, and I'm transparent, and I admit my mistakes and shortcomings, but I'm also honest about the progress and the successes and the areas that I have grown in as well. The purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that's just simply people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is that I'm learning to have a deeper level of sympathy for those who deliberately do me wrong. So let me tell you about an incident that happened about a week ago. So I witnessed this incident happen with someone who, you know, I think I've had some challenges with in the past, and I know they're not a fan of me for, you know, reasons who, you know, that have not been completely revealed at this point. But I witnessed this very minor incident to occur to someone. And so because it was a minor incident that also had some comedy to it, while I was witnessing it, I wanted to laugh. And in that moment where I actually started to laugh, I actually got convicted about finding the situation funny, and the Holy Spirit urged me and said to have sympathy for the person and to pray that the person would not be bothered by the incident that was taking place. So, of course, you know, my initial response was like, oh, come on, like, this is funny. This is something light. This is something small. But what God was trying to do is to be able to see beyond even the small things and to see that small things turn to larger things. And so in that moment, you know, I was obedient. I went ahead and said a prayer. I'm not going to lie and try to be all extra deep and spiritual and say I went into, you know, a long prayer of an hour or 2 hours for the individual. It was a quick prayer, but it was sincere. You know, it definitely was sincere to be able to pray that that person would, you know, be okay. And in that moment, it definitely just taught me just how important it is to be able to have compassion, even in incidences that we may find funny. I'm not saying that it's never okay to laugh when you see something happen. I'm a person, if you know me at all, you know that I love to laugh, that I will laugh at any and everything, because I just enjoy laughing. I mean, I think it's a great part of life just to be able to enjoy yourself. But at the same token, is that you still have to be able to recognize where people are. And another thing that that the Holy Spirit really spoke to me about in that moment is that what's small to us can be big to people, especially when they're dealing with complex issues or when they're dealing with multiple issues, what's going on in their lives. You know, I can be honest with you and tell me that, you know, something that I will find funny when I'm having a good day, I may not find funny when I'm having a bad day. And so those are the things that I had to think about, even in having compassion and praying for that person in that moment, instead of joining in with finding a comedy in it and wanting to just get a good laugh. So I'm choosing to use more discernment and to be able to have more compassion and more sympathy, even in the small things, for people who don't give the same courtesy to me. You know, because I can tell you that in the past I have not been given that same courtesy by that particular individual. But the thing about it is that the Bible tells us to bless those who curse us. And so even in situations where you know that the person would not give you the same courtesy, is that we really are supposed to give even more to those people. We are not supposed to give back people what they give to us. If someone gives us hate, we're not supposed to return that for hate. You know, if someone is hurtful or if they do things to you that are not right, we're not supposed to return that back to them. Now, the same token, you may need to provide some distance in order to keep yourself from being in that situation again. You never want to put yourself intentionally in a situation to be unnecessarily hurt or damaged or disrespected. So, you know, even in loving the person, you can love people from a distance. So we definitely want to put that out there. But at the end of the day, it is important for us to really love each other. And really this can be summed up even by something I posted on social media earlier today, how we are called to love each other. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, and it is by our love that we will be known as disciples of Jesus, according to John 13 and 35. So I just encourage everyone just to make sure that in everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, that you are really walking in the love of Christ. So we're going to go ahead and take a brief commercial break and hear our wellness moment from Sharia Farmer, who is the owner of the RF Counseling and Wellness Center. And then after this brief break, I'll be right back.
Today's wellness moment is be grateful. It is one of the best things in the world to really reflect on the things that you have and to be able to really acknowledge the things that you do have in your life so that you can have a level of gratitude. And also, it's been shown that when a person is grateful, they actually can identify the things that make them happy. It actually helps to, for them to have a less experiences of sadness, and it also helps them balance with the ups and downs because they can reinforce when they are down, that they have things to be up for. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have bad moments. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have things in life that happen that bring you down. But what it does mean is that you'll have a level of great gratitude or gratefulness that you can return to when these moments come. I really think that this is an important one because it helps to maintain your health, realizing that there's good times and bad times, but you can always identify some good in your life. And also just take a minute, maybe about 1 or 2 minutes a day, either in the morning or even before you go to bed, just to kind of be grateful. So that's our wellness moment for this week. You guys be well.
All right, welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. Remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that are mentioned throughout the show. If you have any questions or comments or just would like to join in with the discussion about something that really resonated with you, you can always call. The show, the number to call in is listed on the show website, which is 347-850-1154. So now we're going to go into our main topic for tonight. And tonight I want to have a discussion about what it takes to make your dreams your reality. This week I saw this post on Instagram, which you can also view on the show website, that said, don't downgrade your dreams to match your reality. Upgrade your faith to match your destiny. I'm going to read that one more time. Don't downgrade your dream to match your reality. Upgrade your faith to match your destiny. So let's talk about the cost of a dream. Now, depending on what type of environment and what type of family you may have grew up in as a child, you may have grown up in an environment that truly supported you to dream and encouraged you to dream and to see beyond where you currently were as a child and to think about, you know, what you wanted to do as an adult. And there were different activities that you were put in and, you know, different type of programs that you participated in order to foster their dreams. So your dream or the process of dreaming may not have really cost much. But then there may be individuals who you grew up in an environment that was not encouraging and that was not supportive, and you grew up in an environment that did everything it could to try to keep you from dreaming. And so in those situations, then it does cost something to dream. And it will cost you to have to change your mindset or your way of thinking. You know, when you're looking at dreaming, is that you're really thinking about something that you want to happen that you don't have right now. You know, whether you're dreaming of what you can do next week or whether you're dreaming of where you want to be in 5, 10, 20, or even 30 years, at the end of the day, it's about thinking and wanting something that you do not yet have. And so in order to be able to dream, you have to change your mindset and go from survival mode into living. You know, I can tell you that, you know, in having various employment opportunities where, you know, I worked with clients who came from very traumatic backgrounds and came into various programs, you know, in order to assist them with dealing with things that you just would never imagine someone to have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, is that they were used to being in survival mode. And so trying to get them to change their thinking from, okay, this is what I need to do today in order to make it to tomorrow, to this is what I need to do today in order to do this in a year, it was definitely a process. You know, because when you're so used to living day by day, it can be hard to start living year to year or month to month, you know. And so it's a process of getting individuals, whether you've been through a lot or even yourself, someone that's listening today, you may be so caught up in survival mode because life has been so full of challenges and that it's been so difficult and it's been so hard. But you have to step beyond survival to wanting to live. So it's about changing your way of thinking so that you can be able to dream, so that you can be able to see yourself beyond where you are. It's also going to require you to change your perspective. The cost of dreaming will cause you to change your perspective. You have to be able to see not just where you are, but you also have to be able to see even further down the line. You know, this even falls in line with what we were talking about earlier in the show about how faith really moves you from your current circumstances to where you will be in the future. And so it's the same thing even with dreaming. With being able to believe that there is something more, you have to be able to widen your perspective. You have to be able to be more elaborate in how you see things. You have to be able to see, you know, around you and behind you and above you and beyond you. You know, it really causes you to change your perspective. And then you also have to believe that you deserve to dream. You know, sometimes in life, we can get so bogged down with the mistakes we made and the things that we have not done right and all the things that have gone wrong and the missed opportunities, you know, that we have allowed to pass us by. But at the end of the day, despite where you have been or what has not gone right, is that you still deserve to dream again. You know, one of the taglines of my business, Weary Consultations, is that you are greater than the sum of your mistakes. Is that despite how many things you have done wrong, despite how many things that you have not done right, is that the individual that you are, the individual that you were created to be, the gifts and the talents and the skills that you have to offer all bring up a greater sum than whatever your mistakes. I don't care how many things that you can total up. If you can write a whole book just simply on your mistakes, the books or books that could be written on your potential and who you are and what you have the capability of doing, it far outweighs whatever you could have done wrong or you did do wrong in the past. So you have to believe that you deserve to dream again. So the cost of dreaming means that you have to invest belief. You have to invest being able to see that you deserve more, that you deserve to be able to work towards whatever it is that you want to happen and to make that happen. Now, in looking and examining your reality, you must also be able to view it as something that you can overcome and not something that will hold you back. You know, life is hard. Life is challenging. No one has the perfect life, despite how famous you may be, despite how much money or resources you will have at your disposal. No one has the absolute perfect life where they never have anything go wrong. Now, of course, with money and with resources and with connections and having, you know, a network at your disposal that can assist will be able to bring awesome opportunities your way. Of course, you know, life is easier, and the challenges that you face are a lot more different than someone who doesn't have those same resources or network at their disposal. At the end of the day, we all are going to have some type of obstacle that we have to overcome. And so you can't look at the obstacle as something that will hold you back. You have to look at it as something that you can, that you will overcome. And you must keep your focus on your destiny. You have to look at where you want to be. You have to keep your focus on the dream and what you're trying to attain. Even in the midst of the current challenges that you have, you can't just see your challenges. You have to be able to see beyond and see that the dream, the goal, the vision that you want to take the path. And then you have to take the time to activate your faith to take you to that destination. Even if you're not, a spiritual person to the sense that, you know, you are heavily involved in a faith community of some sort. At the end of the day, whether we believe in God or not, with anyone that's listening to the show, is that you exercise faith every single day. When you just jump into your car and you put your car into ignition and you just drive and you're not thinking about all the pieces in a car working together and that the motor is fine and the brakes are going to operate okay and the rotors are not jacked up. You know, when you just jump into your car and you don't go and do a full inspection of your car, you're walking in faith. When you go to work and you go and sit in the chair at your desk and you're not checking the screws in the chair, you're not checking the wheels to make sure it's going to hold it up, you're exercising faith. So, I mean, of course, we can give plenty of other circumstances or examples. So we all exercise faith regardless of where we are in our spiritual journey and what we believe and what we may not believe. But when it comes to really reaching your goals and making your dreams your reality, is that you have to activate your faith to take you there, because your faith is really going to be the fuel to drive you when things go hard. Your faith is going to be what's going to be able to help you to really endure the long nights, to be able to endure the frustrations and the disappointments that will come with trying to make something come to pass. So really encourage you to get into really strengthening your faith, because your faith is so essential to your success. Your faith is essential to your peace. Your faith is essential to you really tapping into the strength of God to be able to carry you through. Because with having faith in God, we have faith in a God who is capable. We have faith in a God who is able, faith in a God who is all-powerful, faith in a God who has knowledge and understanding beyond what we can even begin to grasp or even imagine. We have faith in a God who has the perfect solution to every situation that will ever unfold in our lives. We will have faith in a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. So this is why faith is so essential, because faith gives you access to solutions. Faith gives you access to possibilities. Faith gives you access to resources. Faith gives you access to favor that you don't even deserve. It gives you access to mercy. It gives you access to grace. And so faith is so essential to us actually achieving our dream. So I encourage you really to have faith today and to believe that your dreams are possible, to be able to change your perspective, see every obstacle as an opportunity to learn and to grow, and to know that you can overcome anything that comes in your way. So now we're going to go ahead and go into our dose of spiritual wellness. This is where we recap the show, and here's your one dose of spiritual wellness for the week. And it is simply a recap, or really repeating what I have said about the Instagram post that I saw a couple of days ago, which is simply, don't downgrade your dream to match your reality. Upgrade your faith to match your destiny. I'm going to repeat that one more time because I really want this to stick with you. And if you have a pen and paper nearby, I encourage you to write this down. Or if you're even listening to the show on your mobile device, take a screenshot of it, you know, put it on your own social media account, or, you know, write it down, put it on your mirror so you can see it every single day. But it's simply, don't downgrade your dream to match your reality. Upgrade your faith to match your destiny. So just don't be limited by your circumstances. Don't allow where you are to cause you to lose hope in where you are really destined to be, where you are called to be, where you are meant to be. You know, our passions are really fortified by our process. And so it's important to be able to go through the process of the difficulties and the challenges and being able to be creative and to find solutions where it doesn't seem there is a solution. It's all a part of the process, and it's about really legitimizing your passion and legitimizing your ability to be able to help someone else who is going through the same path that you have already gone down. Downgrade your dream to match your reality, but upgrade your faith to match your destiny. So we are going to actually head out and give final greetings for the show. Have several announcements to be able to make, so let's go ahead and get right into it. First of all, I just want to say before we even get into the final greetings is that, as always, I enjoy spending time with you, and I'm thankful that you take the time out of your Monday evenings to join us time, to spend this time, rather, with me. We're here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can log on to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness, and you'll be immediately connected to the show. Remember that you can connect with me after the show on social media with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show. My handle is Weary Consult on all social media platforms. You can find me at Weary Consult, that's WHERRYCONSULT, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Periscope as well. So be sure to follow me to be able to keep up with me and what's going on. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can also go to my website, which is sherryweary.com. That's SHERRYWHERRY.com. And be sure to check out the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog at radiantsunshine.org. You can find tons of helpful wellness tips, and then I also blog there as well. While you're at RadiantSunshine.org, you also want to check out information about the Women's Enrichment Community that the RS Counseling and Wellness Center will be launching pretty soon. You definitely want to sign up for that today. I can tell you that the quality and the expertise that you're going to have access to is so much more than the price that you will be paying. You're going to be getting an amazing deal to be able to have access to the wealth of information and to have access to the professionals that are going to be involved in this community, which includes myself as well. You know, I will be the lead coach for the Women Enrichment Community, so I'm very excited about that, really honored about the opportunity, so definitely looking forward to that, you know, getting started up pretty soon. And another thing about the Women Enrichment Community, we are actually currently up for the FedEx Small Business Grant. So the RS Counseling and Wellness Center is actually owned and operated and was founded by Sharia Farmer, who is a licensed therapist. And we are currently in a running for the Small Business Grant with FedEx, and we need your vote. Today is the last day to be able to vote, to be able to qualify for the next round of voting for this. So please go to smallbusinessgrants.fedex.com and vote for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. With this grant that we're going up for, we are seeking this grant because we want to be able to offer the Women Enrichment Community to women who are in need, which includes women who have been victims of domestic violence and or are experiencing economic hardship for various extenuating circumstances. So it's for a great cause. You know, just taking a few seconds to vote is going to enable us to be able to empower and enrich these women and to be able to give them the hope and support that they need in order to accomplish their own dreams and to be able to overcome the obstacles that they have endured. So please go ahead and vote. Again, to the website to vote, today is the very last day, so please vote before midnight. Go to smallbusinessgrant.fedex.com and vote for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. Be sure to tune in Tuesdays at 12 p.m. for the lunch date, a social wellness break with Sharia Farmer, to receive tips on having healthy relationships. And then my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is available in print and ebook format on my website at sherryweary.com, is available at amazon.com and at barnesandnoble.com. And speaking of the novel, Walking Through the Pain, here's your book of the 2016 Paradigm Shift Women's Conference, which will take place in Philadelphia, PA, September 17, 2016. This conference is going to be an amazing event. There's some awesome speakers that are going to be speaking at the conference, really giving just vital information to be able to uplift and to encourage women. So if you are serious about your spiritual wellness, if you are serious about really growing in your faith and overcoming challenges that you have endured as a woman, I strongly encourage you to be part of this conference. You don't have to live in Philadelphia area in order to attend. There is an official travel agent for the conference. Her name is Charlene Giles. So she will be able to assist you with finding the best deals to be able to travel if you are coming, you know, from out of state or even out of the country as well. We would love for everyone to come and be a part of this. In order to get more information about the conference and the speakers, to get information about registration, and also to be able to get in contact with Charlene, who is the official travel agent, you want to go to PatriceMyrickMinistries.com. That's Patrice. MyrickMinistries.com. That's PatriceMyrickMinistries.com. So PatriceMyrickMinistries.com for more information. I'm also going to be adding up a flyer about the conference on the show website as well, so you'll be able to, you know, look at all of that just in one spot here on the show. Lastly, before I close out the show, I want to make sure that I extend just my heartfelt sorrow and prayers to the victims of the Orlando tragedy that occurred on yesterday early in the morning at the club there, and just to all those who are experiencing the loss of loved ones due to senseless violence and hatred. I wish I had, you know, some eloquent speech to be able to give to each and every one, but the truth be told is just that my heart is just truly aching for each and every one of you. And although I don't have the words to be able to give that will totally take away your hurt or your pain that you are dealing with, if I did have those words, you better believe I would say it without hesitation. But even with not having the words to say that could totally ease that pain, I can tell you that I have the person who does understand. You know, the Bible talks about how God is familiar. He's acquainted with our griefs. And so there is no sorrow. There is no pain he does not understand. There is no sorrow or grief or pain that he cannot heal. And as being a person who has experienced some very painful situations in my life, and being on the other side of that pain, I can tell you that God's healing is just beyond what words could ever express, and that having access to that healing from God and being able to move past those issues, it's amazing. And I just recommend God to anyone that is hurting and in pain. And I know it can be hard to really seek God in situations like these because of it. Sometimes we can really be more focused on why God didn't stop it, why God didn't change this situation, why didn't God allow my loved one to heal, why didn't God stop this person or persons from doing these evil things that they really should not have done. And I don't have the answer to that. The only thing I can tell you is that I know a person who understands your grief, who understands your pain and your disappointment and your anger and your frustration, and he's able to handle all of that, and he's able to heal you and to give you peace that passes all understanding, and that person is God. So, you know, for every one of you out there, I just want to know that I want you all to know that I'm praying with you, that I pray that our eyes will be opened, that our hearts will be softened, that our hands will do the real work of justice, and that our feet will not pursue that justice until everyone is free. And until we meet again, and as always, I also pray that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.